thank you to our worship team today. You guys have really set the stage, so to speak, well for the word that we're going to be in today as we continue into part three of our farming series. And yet again, as I stand here, it makes me nervous because I am not a farmer and I'm talking about things that I have little understanding. But I will do my best and want to give thanks to those farmers that have helped me to learn along the way. And today we're going to talk about one of the other things that helps us to rest, to grow healthy, is resting. One of the things that helps us grow healthier is resting. And the older I'm getting, the more I'm realizing that there's a lot of truth in that. I didn't know that when I was a little bit younger, but I'm starting to pick up on that wisdom, right? There is rest is a helpful part and a good part of our path to growing. And as farmers, one of the things that I learned was that a farmer will tend to let the ground rest after it has been farmed, so to speak, or if we could use that term. And there's multiple reasons for that, and I won't get them all, but one of the reasons that I've learned is when you allow the remains of what has been harvested to remain on the ground and that breaks down and it becomes organic material for the soil, which helps to kind of replenish, I think, some of the nutrients in the soil and allows that soil to recover from what's been sort of taken out of the soil through the growing period. So it's good for the soil to let it rest for a season. One of the other reasons is that when you are you're farming and you have weeds. Anybody ever seen weeds in the garden? Yep, so we just love weeds, don't we? And you want to get rid of those weeds. And so on a large scale, farmers will tend to spray for weeds. And if you continue to use the same chemicals again and again, well, then the weeds tend to become resistant to that chemical. And so as you're using different crops, I think, and different chemicals, it helps not build up that tolerance, and so it's better for, you know, your field in the long run. And you think of it, as I was told, like taking antibiotics. If you take the same antibiotic again and again and again fairly regularly, your body builds up a tolerance for that. It doesn't work as well. And so there's some similarity with that in farming with chemicals, and apologize if I have messed that up, but it's fairly close. All right, good deal. That's a win. Again, take them where you can get them. So in farming, just like in life, having a rhythm of rest is a critical part of getting a healthy harvest again and again and again, that you need that rhythm, right? The things that I've shared, and there's other ones I know as well. And, you know, I talked about as I'm getting older, I'm learning that that is true as well. I had the opportunity to run the Evansville Half Marathon yesterday. And enjoyed that, had a good race, hit my goal for it, so I was excited. And then I got up this morning and I tried to stand up and start walking, and then my legs were not as excited as my head and my heart were yesterday. And I started to walk down the steps, and then I realized my knees were not nearly as excited as I had been. And so it's another reminder, our bodies, boy, they just need rest. And so before I, you know, get into training for anything else, I've just got to let my body rest and let it recover from 2 hours of just beating my leg muscles yesterday. Resting is the point in time when we actually grow stronger. We often think that when we go to the gym, when we're hitting the weights, yes, that's when I'm getting stronger. Actually, no. That's when you're breaking your muscles down. It's when you sleep, typically, that your muscles recover and they grow stronger. You need that rest. In fact, God created the very concept as a wise way of growing healthier. But it has to be in balance. We can't just rest all the time and never do anything and say, well, I ought to be as healthy as a horse because all I ever do is just rest. Pastor told me, I just need to rest. Well, yes, you need a rhythm of rest to become your best. Put that on a t-shirt, right? Or something. And as I said, God's built that into the rhythm of life. And if we can go to the scriptures, we can see that that is the case. And so I thought it would be good for us to do that today. Since we are in church, right? Why not use the word, you know? If you're familiar with creation, you may know where I'm going with this. But the Lord created for, we'll just do some trivia. He created for how many days? 6. And then on day 7, what did he do? rest. The Bible says that on day seven, God rested. And so we'll just read that scripture. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And I love that. And here's where God is not like me. I would have been tired. God wasn't tired. That wasn't why he rested. God had created everything. And you remember on each day, what does he say after he creates it? It is good, right? So when God says it is good, that means it doesn't lack anything. It's just as he has intended. It has everything that it needs to flourish and to thrive as he has created it for its designed purpose. Now that includes Adam and Eve as well in that story, in that epic narrative, as it is called. God knew that it was complete, and thus it was good, just like he is good and complete, lacking nothing, being God, the one who spoke, and all of creation, what? Came into existence as he spoke it into existence, and it happened, and it came forth just as he had declared over it. Now later, God calls the Hebrew people to be his covenant people, right? So remember Moses, right? And so we'll remember the story of Moses is leading the Israelites, and they get to Mount Sinai, and Moses goes up to Mount Sinai, and what does God give him that he brings down with him? He gives the Ten Commandments, that's right. And in the Ten Commandments, number four, the Lord said, keep the Sabbath holy. Deuteronomy 5:13, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. He says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. So day seven, according to God, was the day when the Israelites were supposed to cease from labor, right? So that was the day that from all their labors and their toils and their struggles throughout the week, they were supposed to take day seven and they were supposed to, just sounds good thinking about it. They were supposed to just chillax. I don't think that's in the Bible, but it was a time for them to be refreshed, to be renewed for a day, if you will, and a time for them to give thanks to God for all of his good works from creation through the Exodus, even before, of how good God truly is. I told you, you guys set up today's sermon very well with the worship service, the music service preceding. Well, over time, unfortunately, the priest began to take the commandments, and especially number four, we keep the Sabbath holy, it began to put rules and regulations on it. And this is often where in contemporary Christianity, we can maybe have a tendency to look back and go, those guys are out of their mind. How I can't believe that they did that. And what were they thinking of all the audacity? Right? They probably didn't use that word. But in all fairness, the priests and the religious leaders were so scared that God would remove his hand of favor upon Israel and Jerusalem if they were not fulfilling the commandments to the T. That if they in some way were offending God, God would withdraw his hand of favor and that they again would be vulnerable to attack and being scattered, destroyed perhaps as a nation, and they were afraid. So in fear, they went overboard. And it became rule upon rule and stipulation and, the regulations and don't do this and you can do this, but you can't do that. Don't let us catch you doing that. And so guess who shows up on the scene in the Gospels? Jesus. And Jesus comes and Jesus knows. Because remember, what culture does he grow up in? He grows up in the Jewish culture. So he 100% knows what was taught and all the rules. He grew up learning those and abiding by those and having to obey those. But one day he, in Mark chapter 2, it's recorded, he teaches about the misconception of the Sabbath. And I want to read what he said to them because it's really pivotal to what I want to talk about here moving forward, about the concept of resting, right? So let's look at that. So Jesus went through the wheat fields on the Sabbath, and as the disciples made their way, they were picking the heads of wheat. And the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are they breaking the Sabbath law?" So he said to them, "Haven't you ever read what David did when he was in need, when he and those with him were hungry? During the time when Abiathar was high priest, David went in to God's house and he ate the bread of the presence, which only the priests were allowed to eat. He also gave bread to those who were with him." Stop for a second. David should have been held accountable for that action, for going into the temple and taking the bread, showbread, off of the table, because it remained there and was replaced regularly. And only the priests were to do that. But because David was hungry, because David needed sustenance for life, and so did the men that were with him, he goes in there and he takes that. But he doesn't get struck by God. He doesn't get judged for that action. And he says, "Don't you know that story of what happened?" And then he said, "The Sabbath was created for humans. Humans weren't created for the Sabbath." Let that sink in for a moment. That's probably a phrase, if you've been in the church for some time, then you've probably heard that, right? The Sabbath was created for you. God didn't create you so that you had to then be obedient to that Sabbath. In other words, that you had to jump through a hoop to somehow earn his favor or play the game his way. God said, no. You could look at it that way, but that's not the right way. He said, actually, I created the Sabbath. That's what Jesus is saying, right? Because, by the way, he was there. And so God created the Sabbath so that you could be refreshed. You could be renewed. You could experience rhythmic times of restoration in your life. God created that for your good. So that you could rest. You could engage in things that are life-giving for you and for your family. Rest is for our good. Now, let's bring in the reality of life today. We set that up. So let's bring in the reality. How many of you would say that life is busy? That your schedule is busy? Probably many of us, right? Now, let me then say this. I would argue that busyness is not bad. Some of you are going to go, "Well, now I'm interested to what you have to say next." Listen, busyness is not always a bad thing. There are seasons in life when life demands of you much, demands much from you. Not old English anymore. The problem that busyness presents in our lives is when it becomes the norm instead of the exception. The book of Ecclesiastes, which is a book of wisdom in Scripture, says that there is a season for every activity under the heavens. So there are times when, yes, you will be busy, but you can't let that be your norm. It has to be the exception, and you have to protect that. But if I protect it, then what will happen? That's the conundrum, isn't it? But that's the whole concept of what God is trying to communicate to us and what I want to communicate with us today as well. How do we rest in the midst of being so busy? Can you actually rest while you are busy? I would argue, yes, you can. That they don't have to be mutually exclusive of each other. Now, this isn't a green light to say, well, yeah, I can do whatever. No. But when you are busy, it's rest that helps to provide strength and endurance for the rest of the race. Let me give a physical example. It's not even in my notes. It just came to me. So I'm running yesterday, and I get about midway through the race. And it's about that time in the race where my body said, buddy, you're tired. Are you sure you want to keep doing this? All you got to do is start walking. So in the busyness of running, I know I'm tired. I am getting tired. And one of the things that I've learned is that in that middle part of the race, you have to focus not on how you feel about being tired. You have to focus on the basics. You have to focus on your breathing. You have to slow down in your head. You got to focus on how you breathe. You have to focus on your form. You got to focus on how you're landing your feet. Because those are the things that help you to endure the remaining distance in the race, how far you're running, right? And if you forget and you lose sight of that stuff, then the exhaustion, it will overwhelm you. And it'll be mentally, you'll just begin to break down and you'll just throw up your hands and go, forget this nonsense. I quit. Now you're still tired, even when you focus on your basics, but what tends to happen is you become renewed because you stop thinking about the busyness and you transition to the things that help you to actually be healthier and stronger as you're busy. And I think for us as Christians, one of those things is prayer. That we start our day with promoting what? That we would pray, God, guard and guide my what? That's what I'm telling you. God, guard and guide my what? I just told you. What? We rehearsed that beforehand. God, guard and guide my what? My words, my heart, my attitude, and my thoughts. Here's what I find. Your words, your heart, your attitude, and your thoughts tend to influence how you act and how you approach what you're dealing with, and specifically, well, throughout life. But let's just say a day. Let's just pick a day, right? So in the start of that day, we say, God, I'm asking today. I know it's going to be a busy day. I've got 15 things on my list that I know when my feet hit the floor, I got to do today. I don't know how. I'm going to have to get in the mode. Like, you know, I got to go. But perhaps God would invite us to say, acknowledge the 15. But before you close your hands and you start working, open your hands and be willing to receive first. Spirit of God, guard and guide. Listen to that. Guard and guide. Guard your heart. Scripture says, guard your heart above all else, for it is the wellspring of life, right? God, guard my heart today. Guard my mind, because it's a battle with the enemy sometimes, especially when I get busy, right? Somebody tries to derail my plans. Guard my mind, guard my heart, guard my mouth, because I could speak what I'm feeling or thinking, but Lord, don't allow me to give the devil a foothold in my heart and my mind through the words that come off of my lips today. Ooh. I deal with that as much as you. I'm sure y'all deal with that. God, guard and guide my words, my heart, my attitude. Oh my goodness. My attitude. Woo! My attitude and my thoughts. Lord, I'm asking you to help me today. So that as I pray what, that you will then shape what comes out of my day. That you would, watch this, that you would give truth for the words. You would give love for the heart. You would give peace for the attitude. And you would give wisdom in the thoughts. Open up your hands and your heart as you start the day and say, Lord, I ask that you would guard and guide my what? And he's, yeah, sure. I can do that. Because I'm your God. My spirit is within you. I can guard your words, your heart, your attitude, and your thoughts. I got that. Because nothing escapes the ability of a good God who is complete and lacks nothing and knows you and knows your tendencies. He knows where you may tend to get yourself in trouble here in your head or in your attitude or the things that come out of your mouth. He knows all of those things. Now, lest you somehow think that I have it all put together when I teach this, allow me to shed some light on the subject. I do not. I am still learning. And I'll give you an example. As a pastor, I've had the tendency to believe that my hard work directly influences the outcome of more people coming to become a part of our church family and our ministries. And basically, the harder I work, the more people will come and will be a part and will start to follow Jesus, right? That in some way, that outcome is directly related to how hard I work. That is not true. The Lord adds to the church those by his grace, who are being saved by his grace. The outcome of people coming to Christ is not determined by how hard I work. But I can't just sit there and do nothing. But it's not driven by me. I'm in partnership with. He does the heavy lifting, but I still have to partner and work with him, right? Exactly, right. Here's what my experience has been. The times that I have gotten caught up in thinking like that, that it's directly related to me, that's when I have found that the load gets heavy. I get exhausted. That sense of, you ever work so hard on something, you almost feel in so long, you feel like you're almost kind of getting burnt out on it? Like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Like, that sense. And for me, what I've found is that that's happened to me because I have been taking the responsibility upon myself as though it's all directly related to me. So I've gotten up, close-fisted, let's go. I'm running through the day. And I've let go of that habit. Then I open up my hands today, Lord. And I ask that today, with all that sits in front of me, would you guard and guide my word, my heart, my attitude, and my thoughts, because those things will influence my actions today and what gets done and the way it gets done and who gets the glory for what gets done. May the world see you through me today, when they may be tempted to just see me, and I may want to say, look at what I've done today. So proud of myself today. Lord, I'm so proud of what you've accomplished through me today and the good things I've done. And Lord, that moment in my day when I was maybe a little hungry and somebody said or didn't say or didn't do what I was really hoping or expecting they would, and that really hurt. And I just in my head imagine myself slapping the nonsense out of them so that they would get it from here on out. I apologize for that today, and would you help me not to do that tomorrow if it happens again? Has that ever happened to you? Oh, just once. Okay. Well, anyways. That doesn't happen that way for me all the time. That's why I say I'm learning this, just like I hope the rest of us will be learning this. And if some of you have this down really well, I would be happy to have you share some of the wisdom that you're learning that's helping you do this on a very consistent, consistent way. And what that's doing, as I'm having those positive experiences in that, right, is it's teaching me what Matthew 11:28 sort of looks like. Look at Matthew 11:28. I got on the screen here for us today. I want to read this. You may have heard this before. So Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me." In other words, allow me to guide you in work that will cultivate a good harvest in you and in the life around you. And he talks about the kind of rest and the way he guides and leads. He says, "I'm gentle and humble, and you will find rest for yourselves. My yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light." Could you go back up to the first verse in that passage? Because in that verse are my two favorite words in that whole passage, and it's, "I will." I will. You see that? It's kind of at the third and fourth line there. I will. I'll do it. You're struggling. Your heavy load has got you burdened down. Let me guard and guide your words, your heart, your attitude, your thoughts, and how you're acting. Let me influence that. You just slow your roll, man. And you'll find that the way I do that is gentle with you. And I won't lord the truth over you because I'm humble, he says, right? It's a humble way. Like, I will come along at you and I will prop you up. I'll lift you up. So that even though you don't feel like you can still stand. So you can rest. In your strain from holding your world up all around you, I'm going to give you the opportunity in me to be able to just exhale and rest. Inhale grace and just exhale worship. And God, you're so good. Thank you. Thank you for what you are doing in me throughout my day. And I got so many stories I could tell you of how that is really true, and but I'm not going to share all that with you. I just thought I would encapsulate it this way. If to think back to the testimony of, for me, what I have found is that as I pray the what, right, we talked about, this is what I've been experiencing in my life, is that finding there's more spiritual peace that is kind of circling throughout me and my life. It's given me spiritual peace with God. It's reduced my stress. I don't stress over the things that I know I don't control the outcomes of as much as I used to. So I find peace in that. It's from the Lord. It's renewed my mind to be in better headspace. I don't have as many circling thoughts in my head. Well, the what if this, and I've got to do this, and then what will they think if I don't do, and da 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 da, and all the what ifs, and the me. Lord, it's not about me controlling the outcome. It's about you influencing the outcome for your good. Help me to surrender control over to you, because you are God and I am not. You are good and complete in all your ways. You'll knock it out of the park. That gives my head a lot better headspace to think and just relax a little bit when I don't have to wrestle with that control part of that. I can leave my to-do list not fully done when I go home. And I can pick it back up the next day. And I'm okay with that. There was a time when I was not okay with that. Because if today is successful, I got to get these things done. Well, what if the things that you got done are exactly the things that truly needed to get done, and God's okay with that? It's just you that's not okay with that. See, if you trust from the start of your day that the things that God's going to influence me towards are the things that He desires, then if that's what gets accomplished today, that's a good day. Because God worked through me. And the things that I thought got undone, it was wrong. My gosh, I didn't. It's not the end of the world. The Lord Jesus is still on the throne. My salvation is secure in Christ. I have hope for eternal life with God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and all the angels and saints in the kingdom of heaven. I know that that's not going away. I know that the enemy or nothing upon this earth can take from me what God has secured and set in place for me. And I know that the best that I am trying to wake up and walk with the Lord and serve the Lord that day. Because all I have is that day. I can have a 3-year plan, but I don't know if I got 3 years. I know I have today. So Lord, help me to rest in You today. And would You grant me peace and less stress and better headspace and stop wasting emotional energy on things that are just a waste of energy. And sometimes what I'm finding is that God has to teach me what those things are. Because in my head, I'll spend emotional energy, I will waste emotional energy on things that I think, like, what do they think of me? What if they're not proud of me? What if I'm not measuring up to their expectation for me? What if I said something or did something and I've offended them? I don't know what it might have been, but what ifs? Oh, the what ifs will just kill you, right? Lord, help me to not waste emotional energy on the false what ifs. And would You help grant me peace and clarity of the truth in the moments? So, Lord, I know that means we're going to have to say no to some thoughts so that I can say yes to better thoughts in my head. Say no to the ones that are being contrived out of my own insecurities and my own fears and the false narratives that I've been telling myself. And I can just stop, recognize that with wisdom, and receive the truth of what You're speaking over my life and in my life today about who You are, how You see me, and what You desire for me, and just to let go of the things that are not true and not a real priority so that I can walk in step with the Spirit with Your priorities throughout my day. Are you ready for the good news? That's a lifelong journey. I know, right? I thought I was going to get this by like Monday at noon. It's a lifelong journey of walking with the Lord. It's a lifelong journey of waking up and saying, God, I'm going to trust You for the outcomes today. Lord, I'm believing You will grant me peace in my day today. That if I hand over the keys of the tractor to You, that You will reap a harvest of righteousness in me in a way that I could never do for myself in my own life. You plow that field. You plant those seeds. You get rid of those invasive thoughts and attitudes and ideas, feelings that are not healthy for me. You take care of those because You're God. And I today choose to trust You for that. And I trusted You yesterday and the day before, but I'm going to trust You again. And I'm sure somebody's going to say something that's just going to get my blood pressure pumping today. You know? Who knows? Life's full of all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to choose to stand on the truth and walk in the light as You are in the light. And choose to believe that You were truly correct when You told us to rest in You first and You would give us rest. That truly we become our best in a rhythm of rest.